Welcome to the RSP Cast. I'm Matt Waldman with the Rookie Scouting Portfolio, and today I have an extra special guest for us here in the RSP film room, otherwise known as the La Quinta Motel location in Mobile, Alabama, and that's with my bud Cecil Lammy. And in the background, you're going to hear some sly comments from Gene Bramble here. But Cecil Lammy, 104.3 The Fan in Denver, as well as you know him and love him at footballguys.com, the Audible podcast. Cecil, great to have you.
Yeah, great to be here in Mobile once again, Matt. It was a decade ago when I asked if you would want to go with me, yeah. Because our buddy Sigmund Bloom was not going to go anymore, although he did make a return this year.
Yeah.
And I was so worried at the time. I was like, man, I hope Matt says yes.
Oh, man, I was thrilled.
I was trying to sell you on how cool the Senior Bowl was, and now here we are a decade later. We've got all of our traditions. We don't need the GPS. We know where everything's at. We know where to go, and it's like a second home here in Mobile every January.
Yeah, absolutely is. So we've made ourselves at home, and we did a little bit of film watching today. Obviously, we got to go to the practice, checked out some of the film tonight, and thought it would be fun to go over some of what our thoughts were from the results of the day three practice. We're going to start here with the North Ross. No, is it the North Ross?
North Ross.
I don't know my directions anymore. So we had our North roster, and we're going to take a look at that and talk about some of the skill players based on order of the drills that we've seen and kind of take you through the practice, at least from our mind's eye, from our notes. So we're going to go ahead and get started. All right, so the first set of drills that we saw were the linebackers on the tight ends and running backs in pass protection. It started off kind of rough, but it looked like they got a little bit better as it went along.
Yeah, and that's what you want to see as they go along. Are you learning to improve your technique? Are you learning to improve your base? Are you staying with the guy as he's blocking or trying to get after you? And that's always good to see. These pass protection drills, I remember Lorenzo Booker years ago was like excellent at pass protection drills. And you thought, wow, for a little guy, for a smaller back, he was going to be exceptional in the pros. And they never really did a whole lot. So it's always interesting to note if someone struggles and then gets better as the day goes on. That's what you want to see.
Yeah, absolutely. A good example of that was Dexter Williams, the Notre Dame running back. You know, the first couple of reps they showed, he was just getting beat off the edge. He got, cornered on one, and then there was a swim move on another. But then as the day went on, or as the session went on with this, he was able to move his feet a little bit better. You see him continue to use his hands and find the correct angles to at least work the defender around the quarterback or the coach who was playing quarterback, as well as even handle a spin move or two. Who else were some guys that caught your eye?
Well, it's want to, really. And that's what it's all about. Number one, the Memphis kid.
Yeah, Tony Pollard.
Oh, yes, yeah, Pollard. He's a smaller back, but he did a good job of that desire, which you can tell, like, they don't really like contact. Maybe they do. And also footwork. How's your foot placement before you get struck? Are you able to absorb the blow, redirect? And you saw that with Pollard as the day went on.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of these guys, too, I think it's about the ultimate thing you want to see them learn is to be the first ones to strike. And, because we saw Bruce Anderson a couple of times in the other practice where he just got flat out run over because he got square, he got position, he had the bend he wanted, but he wasn't the first to hit. And when somebody's coming downhill who's about 40 pounds heavier than you and they're delivering that blow to your chest, that's about what's going to happen. But, other guys that did pretty well, I thought that Drew Sample did pretty well, the tight end. For Washington, he was pretty disciplined about staying in his position. He did a good job off the edge and being able to move with the defender and working his hand so that he could get that defender around the edge a number of times. And I think there was one time where he was bull rushed, and while it knocked him back a few steps, he was able to stagger his base until he was able to anchor and hold off the defender well away from the quarterback.
Yeah, you see good core strength, and I also like to see feistiness with guys that'll fight back a little bit. And that's something we saw during this drill today.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to move on and get to the next set of drills. We looked at 9-on-7 drills, and it looked like the North defense got creased several times, by the running backs here. Who shined?
Mainly Dexter Williams. I mean, that's the guy that came through with his jump cuts, with his burst. I like the fact that when he saw a hole, he didn't hesitate to get through it. He goes to and through the hole quickly. Good vision. The feet are great because they're instant. That snap as soon as he sees it. He doesn't waste a lot of motion. I saw that with Pollard. Not that he was running out of control, but all of his kind of jukes are exaggerated, and it almost looks like it's going to knock him off balance. There's times when Pollard would see a hole, he'd do the shoulder shimmy, and it was a little bit too much. It was unnecessary because the hole was already there. So it's nice to have that ability, but it's also not nice if you don't need to do it, and two, it's going to knock you off balance. You didn't see that with Williams. Higdon had a couple of nicer runs, mainly taking what was there, but, you know, getting behind his linemen, understanding angles. But this was Williams' drill to shine today.
Yeah.
9-on-7.
Absolutely. And the only other thing that we saw on 9-on-7, we saw maybe two things of note. One was that Caleb Wilson, the tight end for UCLA, made an appearance in relief of Darnold Parham, who got hurt. And
the Stetson kid.
Yeah, the Stetson kid, the giraffe. And we saw actually...
Daniel Jones can't catch a snap.
Yeah, he can't catch a snap. Two in a row, both of them bounced off his hands.
You think they're bad snaps, and then you go back and you watch the film, and you're like, no, that hit him in the hands.
Yeah.
And then just bounced up to the heavens.
I think he's had five fumbles so far in 3 days of practice. Maybe even more than that.
I was going to say, that might be a little light.
Yeah.
If you include the bad snaps as well. Now we're talking about 6 or 7 fumbles, a few interceptions as well over 3 days. So not a great look for a guy who the NFL Draft Advisory Board supposedly gave a first-round grade to.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, because there's a guy who, even when he did have some reads that you could see he recognized what was going on, he looked kind of hesitant about whether or not to pull the trigger. And that's like... That's the area where you're talking about the icing on the cake that's going to make you a top prospect. But we can't even get to him like dropping back yet. So we're at a situation with that was not so good. But Caleb Wilson came in. He should be interesting to see for many of you come game time. Caught like a little drag route off play action and took it up the sideline. Not much more really to report with him. But we're going to move on to our next drill. One-on-ones with wide receivers and defensive backs. Certainly, you know, it's always a good show to get a chance to watch these guys. And, you know, we've seen a couple of days worth of these one-on-ones with some of these players. So it's a good chance to get a little bit of a progress report on how they've done. Who stood out to you, you know, winners or losers in terms of their progress in this event?
Right. Well, the one guy we're not going to be talking about is Jalen Smith, the Louisville wide receiver, in 3 days. He's done little to impress, other than I guess he caught a touchdown in these drills that we were watching and took notes on. Penny Hart, yeah. That's the guy. I think everyone came into this week like excited about Andy Isabella. At least there was some buzz around him. And it's not like he's looked terrible. He's just not the largest catch radius. Not really the greatest route runner. He's quick, and he's got some sudden burst to him. But Penny Hart could be something special. In terms of just a playmaker to get the ball in his hands and that run after the catch ability, the quickness. We saw a play where he was so quick he kind of out-juked himself.
Yeah.
And he stumbles a little bit, catches himself, and then the ball's right on him. And he had the concentration to maintain his balance and catch the football at the same time as he scored on that play. You do see as a smaller receiver, where they list him at 5'8", is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and as a smaller receiver, catch radius is... you know, not really there, so you have to be a little bit more on the money. So he's the guy that stood out, and it was just a pleasure to watch all week long. McLovin, Terry McLaurin, wide receiver from Ohio State, was probably the most well-rounded or polished receiver from here. The Northern Colorado kid, Wesley, just you want him to be better. I mean, at least I do, because he's from up there in Greeley at Northern Colorado, but doesn't know how to run a route. Doesn't know how to find the ball. I mean, if it's close to him, he'll snare it. That's cool. But just not anything more than an undrafted guy that maybe you can develop.
Yeah, because he was just very inefficient with his route running. Like, there are certain things that he had moves that were polished in terms of what he did, but they weren't the right choices for the coverage that he was facing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wound up getting... rode by the cornerback or ridden by the cornerback throughout his routes and couldn't get separation against tighter coverage. And that was also the difference between, you know, Andy Isabella and Penny Hart even today, whereas at Penny Hart, you know, when he faced someone who played physical or tight against him, he was able to find his way. Whereas with Isabella, it was a little bit tougher for him to be able to get free when someone got their hands on him.
Yeah, and we haven't mentioned Keelan Doss yet, I don't think.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, he made some good plays because of that length at the 6'3". You know, it doesn't have to be close to him for him to go out and get it. So I like seeing what he did. That one play on the corner of the end zone where he brought it down and still maintained it. Defender was all over him. He was able to get 2 feet down, find the ball, and come down with the touchdown.
Yeah, and then looking at Jacoby Myers, who was out there, he wasn't bad, but he didn't really particularly stand out compared to the rest of the group here. But he's able to, you know, work the slant route, the over route. He has a good, you know, first, you know, three-step pattern to be able to work inside. He'll use his hands a little bit to get over. But if somebody presents an obstacle for him that has to use, where he has to use more of a wider library of moves, he doesn't really seem to know them all that yet just much. And his athletic ability at this point, it seems kind of average compared to this group, and that could either be because it is or because he's trying to think a little bit more on his feet as a young receiver who converted from quarterback a couple of years ago, and he's still not quite there in terms of his range. How about the tight ends? I mean, we had, you know, we saw Caleb Wilson from UCLA. He came in. We talked a little bit earlier about him in the first drill. What'd you think of what you saw so far?
Now, Drew Sample would be the one to stand out for me because he'll square up his body to the line of scrimmage and use his frame, use those shoulders. Probably the most consistent of this. Back on Myers super quick, he was the guy that couldn't beat the armbar.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. So we saw a play where the defender put his arm on him, just kept his arm on him the whole time, and Myers like fighting. He tried like three different things to get his arm off him and just couldn't get there. So, you know, that's what I was thinking of when you're talking about Myers.
Sure. And then, you know, with the tight ends as well, I mean, I agree with you. Sample was probably the most polished with this. Sweeney had difficulty being able to have a plan when it came to deeper routes downfield. You could tell that he was used to running routes in the middle of the field that were at the most in the intermediate range or as kind of a check down out wide from what he did in Boston College. And if, you know, he had to work downfield a little bit more, you saw him either run into his defender and wind up, you know, creating a penalty situation, or being in a situation where he just didn't have the footwork plan to make that defender miss or to create the angle he needed. But he could catch the ball reasonably well when the ball was within range for him. Caleb Wilson, on the other hand, the UCLA kid, I know I've heard some people talk about him as being explosive or an explosive option. But, you know, when I think of explosive, I think of as fast or quick. And I haven't seen that from his game on film. Either here or at UCLA, he seemed more of a short option who could really use his length to win the ball or get his hands on the ball. But he dropped one of those types of throws this afternoon, and then he had another deeper route that was downfield that he just couldn't get his hands on.
When I think of explosive, I think of dangerous.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't think of Caleb. I mean, well, I think of dangerous, or I think of Tenacious D because of explosivo, but... Like, yeah, I didn't see any of that with the UCLA kid.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, if anything, he reminded me more of like a safety net than he did of something dangerous. Okay, let's move on. 7-on-7s, that's what we pretty much concluded with here with this particular practice session. What'd you see, Cecil?
Yeah, big plays from Penny Hart. I mean, just make me smile, man. The guy's making plays out there, making difficult grabs. You saw what I thought was my favorite pass of the day from Drew Locke. Who, you know, we could argue all day who's the best quarterback here, but Drew Locke's looked okay. He hasn't looked spectacular, but on that one play to Penny Hart, he threw the ball where, and Hart's a smaller player, as we've highlighted on the show, but he threw it where it had to get over the linebacker and then to Hart, like dip to Hart, and Hart had to go up and get it. It was a spectacular play, but he was able to make that connect, so... That was a good play. I think Drew Locke also threw the touchdown to Dexter Williams.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken. So that was another good play. So, you know, whoever it was out there, as long as they threw to Penny Hart, they're probably going to be okay with the ball. And then Williams came through with his nice balance on the sideline, catching that outlet pass and then making a touchdown out of it.
Yeah. And I think McLaurin had a couple of nice plays on some drives there. He did a good job of being able to either work inside out as seen. He's pretty smooth on routes to be able to make plays, and he caught the ball well at the end line or near the sideline. How about Daniel Jones? I mean, do we see anything out of him in these types of drills? I can't recall anything that really was, really strong. And if it was, they were passes that ended up being dropped by Jalen Smith.
Yeah, don't throw it to Jalen Smith. And, the Penny Hart touchdown was wide open.
Yeah.
So, Jones is great when he's thrown against air. Just joking, of course. But he didn't fumble any snaps. He's definitely got that Peyton feet. That's what I call it, because of David Cutcliffe and the Duke coach working closely with the Manning brothers and Peyton specifically. But he's light on his feet. I like that, because when it's time to throw, he's ready to throw, because those feet are really bouncing, bouncing, bouncing. And it's not nervous. I thought that years ago when Peyton got beat up by Nebraska in the Orange Bowl. And his just feet were just bam, 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 bouncing. But that's just him. That's how he did it. But when he went to throw, his feet were so light that he was ready with his motion, no matter how he had to turn and make that throw. So you definitely see Cutcliffe and the Peyton feet with Jones. And I see that as a positive. But overall, this entire week, we've been talking about the turnovers. We've been talking about the fumbled snaps, the issues just with Jones. He's athletic, but I've seen him today. He didn't do it, but he ran in passing drills yesterday, which isn't what you want. So an athlete, but a project. And I still don't see how he got that first round grade from the advisory committee. I know he's somewhat toolsy. He definitely is athletic for sure, but it's not like he lit up the scoreboard all the time at Duke. He didn't put up the numbers, let's say, that Drew Locke did a year ago, not this last year. So, I get it. It's a quarterback desperate league, but if you're taking Daniel Jones, just know that, and I've heard Washington's really interested in him. I've heard Miami's interested in him, and Miami likes Locke as well. So does Washington. But okay, if you need that guy to play right away, Jones isn't that guy. Locke shouldn't be that guy, but maybe someone would force him in. But man, with Jones, I just see it going to take more time with him.
I don't have him anywhere near my top 10. And quarterback rankings before this. Not that I, usually give out rankings information at that point, but he was someone that was just nowhere near where I've seen the type of comments in terms of his value. As I watch more tape, hopefully I'll run into some things that are different from, the games that I watched so far and this practice. But the fact that these practices look the way they do, I would be surprised if I find anything different. Trace McSorley, I don't think there's a whole lot to talk about with him. He was a good player at Penn State, and he's a mobile guy. But I really didn't see anything that really stood out with him all week, really, as a thrower. He made a couple of nice throws over the middle, but they were in the short range of the field. He tended to try and work outside, wasn't extremely accurate. He's an athlete who can throw the football and not really a refined quarterback, even in the college game.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the real All-22 is, but I guess he looks better on that. And I know our man Chris Kaufman, who is a friend of mine and yours as well. I love that guy. He ruffled some feathers when he talked about Easton Stick. Now, Stick was at the Shrine, and boy, he didn't look good. But I much would have rather have preferred that to see a real passer rather than McSorley, who is that athlete. Anytime I watch McSorley, I just think, was he going to switch positions? Or are we talking about Taysom Hill here? You know what I mean? It just doesn't excite me as a passer.
And it's funny that we talk about the All-22, and maybe there's a little mini rant about this, but I look at it from this standpoint, Cecil. I was talking to Gene last night, and someone says, I thought to myself, the next time someone says to me, well, do you have the All-22? I'm going to say, well, do you also have the broadcast? And did you watch that? Because you can't see certain types of coverage very well. Sometimes you can't even tell the number of the guy who he is in the All-22. You can't see any type of releases. Sometimes you can't see the level of footwork that's going on. You don't even understand some of the angles or the close-up hand fighting or footwork from an All-22 angle. I mean, there's a lot of things that you miss from all 22 that you actually would get better in the broadcast. So if you ask me, both can be very impactful, and you oftentimes want to look at multiple angles. So, you know, getting a chance to look at some of the coaches' tape, they often show multiple angles of a play. So if you're just going to say, well, did you have all 22? Well, yeah, but, you know, there's some things that you're missing, because if you're going to sit there and say in a press conference that one of the easiest things to spot in a running back is their ability in pass protection, but your drills don't show any type of diagnostic capability whatsoever, which is really about 80% of block pass protection for a blocker, then what have you been trained to do? You know, and how good is your training? I know there's this thing called the Scout Academy. I think that's pretty good. They might be able to help out on that level. So anyway,
watch as much as you can. I think that's the point of everything. Like, whether it's all 22 or whether it's the broadcast, there are certain players that are difficult to get a hold of. The all 22 small school guys are usually a little bit easier. I always tell the Danny Woodhead story, but I remember getting sent 4 hours of a DVD of 4 hours of Danny Woodhead coaches tape.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, Shattern State wasn't on YouTube. Now, this was really before YouTube kind of exploded, but I know Ozzie Newsome, who we sat by today up in the press box, had always said, like, don't YouTube scout. I get it. Right. I understand it. I respect that. God damn it. I love Ozzie Newsome. I hope you allow cussing on your podcast. But, yeah, I mean, sometimes YouTube is that best resource.
Yeah.
But find as many resources as you can.
Yeah, and I think that that's the thing, is that it's about layers of things, and don't just be so definitive about one thing because you're being defensive about somebody criticizing you. And I think that that's the deal when it comes to, you know, the work. You got to be open to a variety of resources, and maybe you do know better with your training or what you have going on. But there's a point where you kind of look at this and say, you know, you may not use that process. You may not go through it one way, but if you've been doing what you've been doing for a long time, you don't need to justify anybody else. You know, I think that that's part of it as well. But, you know, we don't need to justify any reason why we would want to have Cecil Lammy on our podcast any day of the week. You know, so anything that you want to add in notes in terms of what you've seen from either roster this week that struck you with the Senior Bowl in terms of any types of players, any guys that you would love to see the Broncos get in addition to Drew Lock?
Right, because they seem to be all over Drew Lock. Of course, Penny Hart, that guy there as well. But I think overall, it's just a reminder, this is part of the grade. This isn't the whole grade. If a guy came out here, let's say, for example, like Will Greer, I have some issue with his accuracy and his timing. His deep stuff was better. You know, I have issues with what Daniel Jones did here. Drew Lock wasn't exactly blowing anybody out of the water. This is part of the process.
Yeah.
The film is a majority of it. I'd say 80-85%, whatever number's probably going to be about right, whatever you put on it, as long as, you know, around 80%+. And then this is the last time we get to see him play football, which is why I've always loved coming to the Senior Bowl now for 14 years in a row, is because the combine doesn't really show anything. Those drills aren't really football per se. So this is working with new players. This is adjusting to new players. This is, you know, getting coached in a different way than you probably have. I remember, it's still on YouTube, my interview with Mike Wallace from the Senior Bowl, where he's like, I don't even know how to run a route. I've never been taught how to run routes. And, you know, it's kind of remarkable. But at these college programs, it's not like they're oftentimes the most well-funded thing, even though it is college football, and also not the most well-coached. So these guys are learning things. So just taking that into account and remembering that, you know, when I first started coming in, the Lorenzo Booker story I shared, you know, I get super excited. Oh, wow, this guy. And then they don't do much of anything. Now I feel, at least, I know how to properly gauge this week. It's an important week. It's not everything. It's a piece of the puzzle, a very important piece.
Absolutely, you know, and I think that one of the more important pieces of the puzzle is the things that we don't get to participate in as media, which is actual interviews of players between team and player, coaches and players, whiteboarding, you know, plays, being able to look at what they do in a classroom and how they absorb information, who asks questions, who looks prepared, who, how do they prepare, how do they interact with their teammates behind the scenes, you know, receptiveness to constructive criticism, you know, who's ready to be a pro. Because a lot of this comes out to is, are you reliable and professional in terms of your work towards what you do that translates from the classroom to the practice field, from the practice field to the game? And then on top of that, then you also have to have, you know, does your game turn on when it's, when the lights come on? Because you can look bad in practice, and if you're, and if that practice is about trying to explore certain boundaries and testing them and failing, that's one thing. But when you're able to perform in a game, that's a difference. So some of these guys, you know, for us, we look at this and we're probably going to say this is more of like a job interview. So this is more of a game atmosphere in between game and practice, but you don't get the game energy as much because everybody's all over the place in terms of their attitude with this particular game. You know, some people are coming in here hurt and trying to play and make it through. Some may not be as enthused. Others may absolutely get it and are be like, this is, you know, and then there's others who are like, I'm under pressure here because this could mean millions of dollars for me.
Yeah. Are you self-motivated? That's something we get to see a little bit of this week.
Yeah, absolutely. So listen, Cecil, this was great. And you can absolutely, you know, tune into Cecil Lammy at 104.3 at, you know, in Denver, Colorado. Absolutely at the Audible pretty much daily, you know, daily when it comes to fantasy football season. And, you know, you can check us out with Sigmund Bloom and Gene Brammel every Thursday night on the Audible. And we'll tune back in around draft season about after the combine to do that. You know, it's always great to have Cecil on a show here. You know, he's a football junkie, just like many of you and myself as well. And hope you guys have a good week. Appreciate you tuning in this week to the RSP cast and the RSP channel on YouTube, as well as what we have at www.mattwaldmanrsp.com. Come on.